Hey, everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, today it's just me. I'm going a little solo. Batman had some stuff he had to do with Forge Brotherhood. So today you get me. And so today what I want to talk about a little bit is prayer. And there's a specific reason I want to talk about it. First of all, let me apologize for my voice. I've been out of town traveling, and I just got back, and it seems like I either lost my voice or got sick or, you know, whatever it may have been, but it is what it is, and so we got to work through it. All right, so, you know, Rob and I started talking about the parables of Jesus, but I'm going to pick those back up when we're together again. So for today, like I said, I want to talk about prayer, and you know, we've done podcasts about prayer before, but I think it's important to do one now, right? Because what we saw recently is really, we saw the world change, in my mind, because of the practice of prayer. And the reason I want to say that is because, you know, recently, if you've watched the news, if you watch football, you heard about the incident between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals game where DeMar Hamlin, he got hurt, right? He got hit and he stood up and then he collapsed. And during that game, it looked like a normal hit. Like I watched it, I saw it happen and I didn't think much about it. I didn't think it was that bad. I've seen much worse watching football. I've seen much, you know, I think what I would consider much worse, but, and probably many other people have, but what happened over the next hour, the next day, the next week, it's been a miracle from God, regardless of whether you want to admit it or not, right? I watched an ESPN analyst pray live on TV. I never thought I would see it, right? We live in this culture that the people are supposed to be ashamed or people are getting canceled. But what this ESPN analyst did is he said, look, they've asked us to pray. And I believe in the power of prayer, so I'm going to pray right now, and I hope it's okay. In that moment, he didn't care about any repercussions. He just knew in his heart that the power of prayer could help. He looked at his two colleagues at that time, and he said, look, I'm going to bow my head, and you're free to do the same. And he started to pray right there. Our culture today tells us that it's wrong to praise God. It's wrong to pray on the football field. It's wrong to talk about how God has changed your life. But the instant that they began CPR on that field, it was okay to pray. You know, I watched the news and I study a lot, and you know, at the end of the day, there's been football coaches, baseball coaches, basketball coaches, whatever you want, whatever sport it has been, on multiple levels, they've been fired for praying, for allowing prayer, for thanking God, for leading prayer in the locker room, for at the end of a game, you know, kneeling down in an end zone or allowing their players to do it. They've lost their jobs. All of this prior to trainers starting CPR on DeMar Hamlin. And I don't know about you. Have you ever actually watched someone get CPR? Because for me, I've seen it, right? I feel like it's clearly not as tragic as the person going through CPR, but it's tragic. It can be traumatizing to watch because what you're watching is somebody there lifeless. They're not breathing. Their heart is not beating. And as somebody just watching from that point of view, you're watching somebody die, or you're watching somebody who's already dead and they're trying to bring them back to life. They're trying to revive them. At that instance, our nation put into practice prayer and God answered it with a miracle. You know, if you don't think miracles happen, I'm going to tell you to look at DeMar Hamlin. Talk to DeMar Hamlin and his family. If you don't think God answers prayers, ask his family. Ask him. I don't know him, right? But I saw people on social media that would have never asked for prayer some of them that have openly condemned people for asking for prayer say hashtag praying for DeMar. You know, praying for his family. Personally, I believe that God is using this potentially tragic situation to show us that miracles still happen. To show us that the world can change. And it is amazing. I think the one thing that we got to do is we really should define prayer, right? We should outline what prayer really is. So in general terms, we all know what prayer is, right? You just, hey, you know, you pray to God. But the definition of prayer is addressing and the petitioning of God, right? Prayer is offering up it's an offering of our desires to God, right? For things that are agreeable to his will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. There are countless scriptures about prayer, but I think it's important for us to discuss this definition. You know, I've said to myself, or I felt in the past that, you know, maybe God isn't going to answer my prayer, right? You know, it's been a day or it's a week or a month. And the Bible tells us, hey, cast our burdens to God. And you do that through prayer. But sometimes I feel like this is just me personally. Sometimes I feel like, well, he's, you know, that's a little one. He's too busy for this. I'm just going to go ahead and take that back. Or maybe I prayed for the same thing 10 or 20 times. But what I've realized in this situation, and by the time this podcast airs, this is going to have been, you know, a month and a half ago. But what I've realized is I have to really ask myself a couple questions about prayer. And the first one is what I'm praying for agreeable to his will, agreeable to the will of God? You know, it may sound crazy, but you know, if I'm praying that, hey, I want to win, God, I need to win Powerball, that may not be agreeable to his will. So we got to be realistic with our prayers. You know, I had somebody say to me one time, or maybe I heard it on a podcast, you know, maybe just in conversation with another ministry people, but I heard the question asked, if God answered all your prayers today, would anybody other than you be benefited? And that has stuck with me for a long time. Would anybody other than you be benefited if God answered all your prayers? And if you answer that honestly, and the honest answer is no, maybe your prayers are not agreeable to his will. We got to be realistic with our prayers. The next thing I got to ask, and I ask this of myself, have I confessed my sins? Because if I have not confessed the sins that I've committed or that I continue to commit, what am I saying to God? He knows what my sins are. So if I'm not repenting of those, why is he going to listen? I shouldn't say listen, because he listens to all of them, right? But why should he answer? I think that's a pretty interesting thing to think about, right? We know that God answers all prayers. He may not answer them when you want or how you want, in the manner that you want. It may be the exact opposite, but it's what the right thing is that's agreeable to his will. But you got to confess your sins for him to do that. You got to come to him humble, without pride, without ego. Look, I'm not saying that he's not going to answer. I'm telling you the questions that I'm asking myself. I want to make sure personally that I've done everything to have the best relationship with God. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. to be humble. I mean, he says it right there, right? Will humble themselves. To be humble means to show a modest or low estimate of your own importance. It's putting other things above you. You see, you can't be humble and show pride at the same time, right? You know, and pride is a universal problem, right? I have a problem with it. Everybody's got problems with it, right? I'm prideful about my work, or I'm prideful about the different things that I've accomplished. But what I got to do is I got to be humble. I have to lower myself. I have to be less important. That's what he's saying, right? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We all suffer from pride to some degree. And when we are prideful, God doesn't want to punish us, but instead he wants to forgive us and he wants to restore us. He teaches us in scripture that we are to be humble ourselves. And when we're humble, he's going to exalt us. In today's world, humbling oneself is out of fashion. It's not. It's not appealing to people, right? Our society and our culture is all about pride and ego. Look at social media. Everybody cares, like, I got 100 likes, I got 20 likes, you know, 10,000 people are my friends, or they follow me, or they shared this, or they shared that. That is nothing more than pride. That's why this show of humble prayer and love for God is so remarkable. When that analyst on ESPN started to pray, he was humble before God. There was no pride in what he was doing. In fact, he put himself and his well-being at the bottom of the stack to pray for a miracle. And I know in that moment, when I'm watching it, I paused. I thought, holy crap, what a costly decision he's making. I knew it was going to be a problem for him. That's what the flesh, the worldly self said. Like, what you're doing, it's going to cost you. But he didn't care. He didn't care what it cost him in his workplace. He didn't care what it cost him in the community. He didn't care what it cost him in other ways. He cared about the power of prayer to do it right then, regardless of the repercussions. It could have cost him everything, but in that moment he was humble. And he didn't care about anything except asking God to intervene for DeMar, asking God to intervene for his family, to intervene for the NFL, and everybody, those players, everybody there. Then the next week, you know, another example of how powerful this was at the beginning of the Titans versus the Jaguars game, both teams came together in prayer at the 50-yard line. They humbled themselves and they came together to continue to pray for this young man. You know, as a Christian, praying, it should be like breathing. Just breathing is the response of a physical life, the presence of air. So just like breathing is that physical life, breathing is that presence of air. Prayer should be that way to our spiritual life and the presence of God. That's how it should be. But unfortunately, that's not how many of us pray. We talk to God and we ask for some crazy little things, and in the big picture, they're really insignificant. Or the only time we do pray is to say, hey, Father, bless this food. Let it provide me nourishment. Amen. But we're not spending time in prayer. Think about the relationship that you have with your friends. You know, if I need something from one of my friends, I'm never going to get it unless I call them. Unless I call them and say, hey, I need this. How do they know? They don't just magically know that I need whatever it is that they have. You know, I may have said something to them before about it. Like, wow, that thing's pretty cool. Or if I had one of those, that would be awesome. It would really help me out. But if I've never actually asked for it, why are they going to give it to me? I'm going to challenge you to say God's no different. if you don't ask him, he's not going to answer, even though he already knows what you want. Because asking God is humbling yourself. If you don't humble yourself, it's a long road. Throughout the Bible, each reference to prayer that I have found, it illustrates God as a God who listens, not a God who is distant. It illustrates a God who listens, a God who has a personal relationship with people. Not a God who's attending to some other affairs that you have to coerce to help you. When we pray, we're saying that we believe in the personality of God, in his ability, and in his willingness to intervene in our lives. His control of all things and of all creation and of all of their actions. That's a glorious God, if you ask me, right? Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." I think one thing that we often forget is prayer, like our prayer, it's just talking to God. It's not just talking to God. Let me clarify that, right? I get kind of excited as we do this. It's not just talking to God. Prayer is also listening to God. Listening to God, remembering he's with you all the time. You know, it's just like a father, because he is your father. If I call somebody and I ask him for help, I have to listen for the answer. Now, God may not answer right away, but he's going to answer. He may answer, like I said earlier, in a way that you didn't expect. But if I don't listen, if you don't listen, you're never going to know if he answered. If you move on to the next thing and you're just saying that prayer to get it over with, you're never going to know if he answered. Because God will find a way to tell you what you need to know. Never forget that he's there. And don't be surprised if he answers the way that's best for you, not the way you asked. In Psalm 5:3, it says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait expectantly." We're right there. We're being told that we need to wait and listen. In the morning, you hear my voice, right? The psalmist is saying, in the morning, I'm going to pray to you, God. I'm going to pray, Lord, in the morning. You're going to hear me in the morning. I'm going to give all my requests to you, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to listen. If you're not waiting and listening, you're not going to hear. You know, Damar Hamlin was on a ventilator. I think he was on it for 3 days. I could be wrong. But that meant he was on, you know, that many days that he couldn't breathe without the assistance of a machine. And while he was still on that machine, unable to breathe without its help, people prayed. And they prayed and they prayed. They never stopped asking for God for his intervention. If you look at all of the things that should have happened, DeMar's a miracle. God intervened when his people cried out in prayer. They humbled themselves before God. They asked for God's intervention. They asked for God's miracle. You know, some of us remember a time without the internet or without cell phones. We actually had to go see people. We had to spend time with them to know what was happening in their lives. If we wanted to see the kids or cousins or grandkids, whoever it was, we had to go visit them. The internet and social media has changed all that. It gives us this direct, immediate line of communication with our friends and family. We get to see their lives as it occurs, or I like to say at least how they want us to perceive it occurs. You see, what we see online may not be the way it is. But just like we had to go see people, or just like social media gets us this line of immediate communication, prayer is our immediate connection to God. Prayer is our lifeline, right? There used to be a game show, I think it was called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and it was like, I want to phone a friend, right? God is my phone a friend. It's our immediate line of communication, and it has been for generations. It's never changed. So what I'm trying to say is never underestimate the power of prayer. You just got to come to God the right way. It must be agreeable to His will. We must confess our sins and be thankful, and we must humble ourselves. And if you ask me, God isn't asking for much. He ain't asking for a whole lot. He just wants us without prideful intention. He wants us with a true heart. So here's what I'm going to challenge you. As we move into 2023, right? And as you think about the things you need God to help you with, I want you to take the time to be humble with your requests. I want you to confess your sins. I want you to be thankful. And as hard as that might be, I want you to do it. I want to ask you to humble yourselves before God. And if you need a prayer, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. We will pray for you. Ask how to be saved. Ask how to walk with God. Take the steps you need to today to confess and be thankful. Take the step today to ask for forgiveness. Start this new year with peace. And that's a peace that can only come from Christ. It's important to do it. I want you to really recognize how powerful this prayer is. So I'm going to just say a short one, and then we're going to wrap it up, right? Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the just miracles that you do in people's lives, the miracles that you continue to do today. I ask that you put the Spirit and you touch the people listening to this podcast, that you grant them the wisdom to recognize you, Lord, that grant them the wisdom to be humble and just be intentional with the conversations that they have with you, Father. I ask that you bless this country. I ask that you put it above everything else, that you recognize that you allow us to recognize that you are our Lord and Savior. And Father, I just ask you to grant peace to the people who need it. It's in the name of your precious Son, Christ, that we pray. Amen. Look, this is the Nomad Pastor. I want you to remember, love God and love people. Amen.